didn't start climbing there. Just start playing over. No, that all 35. Let's stand and join in singing our call to worship offering.
Good morning and welcome to Tramway Baptist Church this morning. Real quick, if there happens to be anybody who's visiting for the first time or been visiting a while and hadn't gotten us any of your information, look in front of you in the pew in the little pocket in front of you. There should be a visitor information card you can fill out and put in the offering plate this morning. We'd love to have opportunity to get in touch, see if you've got any prayer needs or want any more information about the church. If you would, please look in your bulletin. A few upcoming things. This coming Tuesday, 5:30 p.m., there'll be a personnel committee meeting. Next Saturday, July 24th, be a ladies' fellowship luncheon. Next Sunday, we're having a CUOC food collection, so bring any items you wish to contribute to CUOC. Walter, any new updates on things they'd be interested in at CUOC? Okay. So it sounds like if you haven't purchased anything yet for CUOC, some breakfast items, cereals, oatmeals, any things like that would be where they're perhaps short right now. I do want to clarify something we talked about last week. We're having a deacon election next week, again, July 25th during the service. So the deacons are, we've got two people rolling off this year. They're 3-year terms up. And so we're presenting three additional people. Like I say, two rolling off. We're presenting three. Travis Corley, Tabby Myers, and James Hickman we're presenting to the church that we'd like to have come on with us as deacons for the following 3 years. So we'll be voting on that next Sunday morning. One note, if you would, if you've got a Sunday school class or a class on Wednesday nights, if you would please take your trash out, especially if you've got any food items. You can put it in the bins that are between the fellowship hall and the classroom building. But we're just trying to, you know, keep pests, bugs, rodents, that sort of thing and down. So not giving them something to eat will help out a whole lot. And then Vacation Bible School is coming up. I don't know if there's any special announcements for that, but Sunday, August the 1st, we'll have a kickoff during the morning worship service. And then the following Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights, we'll be having VBS. So if you'd like to participate, volunteer in some role, we've still got a website. You can get on. You'll see it in your bulletin. You can sign up to help out, or you can let someone know you're interested. And I do have a special prayer request this morning for Miss Estelle Bullard. She had knee replacement this past Tuesday. Was supposed to come home the next day. She ended up having some blood pressure and blood platelets issues. She's still in the hospital and needs our prayer request. So I don't know if she's been added to the prayer list or not yet. But that's Miss Estelle Bullard. If you would keep her in your prayers. All right, any other announcements? All right, if you would please go to the Lord with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you again for today and for all you've done for us. Thank you for this beautiful weather, for getting us up and out of our homes, Lord, to come to your house, Lord, where we can fellowship with one another. Lord, we can sing your praises, Lord, in worship, and we can get into your word, Lord, and learn more about you and about our walks with you. Just as you open our hearts, be prepared for the message you prepared for us this morning, Lord. Since we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Let's stand and join in singing. How Can I Keep From Singing? We'll sing this one through and then take time to meet and greet each other. And then we'll come back and sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Standing, please.
Thank you. Good morning. We have one more urgent prayer request. Some of y'all know Tommy Smith, Justin's brother-in-law, and also our general contractor. He is in ICU with COVID and having trouble breathing. So please keep him and April and Kenna in your family. Obviously, April and Kenna is having their quarantine. So just remember that family in your prayers this week. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's such a blessing to be in your house this morning with our brothers and sisters. Father God, we just ask, Father, that you would be with Tommy and his family, Lord. Be with the medical staff that is treating him. We just pray for wisdom and guidance, Lord. And we pray the same for Miss Estelle, Lord, that you would just heal her body as well. Lord, as we continue to worship you this morning, we pray, Father God, that you would just fill your house with your Holy Spirit, Father, that you would open our hearts and our eyes, our ears, Father God. Give us discernment for the word that you have gave Pastor Jacob for us this morning. Father God, we pray that you would just hide him behind the cross as he steps into the pulpit, Lord, to deliver your message, Lord, and may it challenge us and grow us in our faith, Lord, to trust you and be obedient to your calling. Be with us now throughout the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 608, "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes."
Let us pray. Dear wonderful, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this church. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, dear Father, for the many ways that you've blessed us, Lord. Dear Father, we ask that you take those blessings and increase them as we put them in the offering plate this morning to just do your work in this community. Lord, we thank you for everything you've given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
this morning.
Children, now would be the time that they would head to children's church if you want them to. So send them now or let them squirm in the pew. It's up to you. It's not going to bother me either way. All right. Good morning. We are still in the book of Colossians. It's going to take us a while, but we are at least out of chapter 1. This morning, we're going to get about, hey, amen. I thought I liked chapter 1. That's not the kind of amen I want, Sherry. I got you. Okay. So we're going to get about halfway through chapter 2 this morning. So if you haven't been here the last couple of Sundays, here's what you've missed, okay? The guy who planted the church at Colossae, he got very upset because the church is being misled by false teachers. Some bad things that the church should not be believing. So that man went and tracked down Paul, and Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians to remind them of what they're supposed to be about and to get them back on track. And so the first half of chapter 1 was reminding them who Jesus is. He's God, the Creator, their Savior, literally holding the world together by the power of His Word. The first half was all about who Christ is. And then the second half of chapter 1 was all about what He's done. And so the second half of chapter 1, we talked about how God got off His throne in glory, came down here, paid for our sins on the cross, made a way for us to know God and be in good standing with Him, and spent eternity with Him. And so now in chapter 2, Paul's going to start laying into these false teachers and these false teachings. So before we actually look at the text, let's have a quick word of prayer, all right? Father God, we thank you for this time together, Lord. God, I pray that now as we start to examine your word, the scriptures, I pray, Lord, that this will be beneficial to our congregation. Let it teach us something. Let it give us something that we can apply to our lives, our walk with you. I pray, Father, that you would help me to say things that are true. Help me to say them clearly and accurately. But most of all, Father, we pray that this sermon would bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start off looking at verses 2 through 3. Yep, it's right there behind me, so if you don't have your Bible, that's fine. You can look at that. But if you'd like to follow along, I'll give you just a second. Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start with verses 2 through 3. All right, here's what it says. It says, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding, and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All right, so let's stop. There's a lot going on there, and when I was studying, I had to read this two or three times to kind of grasp everything that was going on, and it reminded me of being in like the eighth grade and reading the Scarlet Letter. Did any of y'all read that in school, Scarlet Letter? I would have to read the same paragraph like 10 times to figure out what was being said. But basically, here's what's going on. Paul is saying that he wants them to all love each other and get along and be knit together, grow closer together, which is good. But the part that I want to spend most of this morning talking about is that second part. Look at the scripture. He says he wants them to reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding, and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So basically what Paul is saying here is that all understanding, all wisdom, all knowledge, all of these things are found in Christ. And so we've gotten through chapter 1, it was on Jesus, and now we're in chapter 2, and Paul is still talking about Jesus. Let's keep looking. What he's telling them is Jesus Christ is the answer or the starting point to all the questions, all the things that matter. Jesus is literally the answer. And I know that sounds really cliche, like Jesus is the answer to every question. But as we dig into this scripture, he is. And it's important that we understand that. Let me read you one verse of scripture. This is John 14:6, and it's Jesus. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And I know that y'all have heard this passage before. This is one that you probably have memorized. But this is Jesus, the Creator, the Lord, God, that we spent the last two Sundays talking about. And he's standing there and he's telling these people, I am truth. And he's not just saying, I'm the way to truth. He's not saying, I'm part of the truth. He's saying, like, the truth, as in the one that really, really matters. And this would have really resonated with the people hearing it back then, but it should resonate with us too. You see, back then, everybody had been influenced by Greek culture, and so these folks like to sit around and talk about philosophies and what was true and what was good. And they'll just sit around and just talk about this mess. And so here's Jesus in the midst of that culture going, I am truth. I am the truth. Y'all are sitting around talking about this stuff and writing weird things that kids are going to have to read in college a long time from now. But it's me. I am the truth. And it reminds me, when I was in school, I had to take all these philosophy classes and all these things. It was a complete waste of time. I'm just going to be honest with you. We would sit there, and every single new idea that had come out, these people would gobble it up like candy. Oh, that's new. Maybe that's the right answer. Oh, so-and-so wrote a book. Maybe this is the truth. You know, and the kids in college were just desperately hungry for something they could rely on, something that was true, was the truth. And here's Jesus saying, it's me. It's me. And for us in our culture right now, someone saying that I am true, I am the truth, that should grab our attention because our culture has completely lost touch with what's true and what's not true. There's very few things in our society, very few places that we can go that we fully trust. I was looking at this since 1997, so since I was 11, okay, Gallup has done this survey where they see how much people trust the news, okay? Every single year, look, some of y'all are already making faces. You see? You know where I'm going with this. Since 1997, they've done surveys to find out how much do we trust the news, newspapers, news on websites. Since 2004, almost 60% of people in our country have said they have absolutely no faith that what they see and hear on the news is true. What? But think about that. We live in a time and a place where people literally don't know what is and isn't true. And it really, this isn't like a political thing, because if you really hate this news channel, this one's not that great either. And if you listen to this one, I hate to tell you, but that one's not great either. There are no news sites that I feel like I can fully trust 100%. And so since 2004, the year I graduated high school, nobody feels like we have a news channel or paper that we can trust to just tell us what's true. And so is it any wonder that people wander around just grabbing on to anything that sounds like it might be true? And so when we have the Lord Jesus standing there and saying, I'm true, I'm the truth, it's me, we got something that people need. We got something that people need to hear about and be pointed towards, because out of everything we're going to hear and come into contact with, Jesus Christ is the only thing that is 100% true. Amen. He is the truth. And so you may say, well, okay, Jesus is the truth. What does that mean practically? What does that mean for me? What that means is for every single question, every single thing that matters that you can think of, Jesus Christ is the starting point for that conversation. And so here's what I mean. If you want to know the difference between right and wrong, that conversation starts with Jesus. When your kids come to you and say, is this okay? Is this right? Is that wrong? Then you say, let's start with Jesus and His Word. When you think, okay, I want to know about something good, something really important. How about I want to know about love, or I want to know about family or marriage or what's beautiful? That conversation starts with Jesus and God's Word, because all of these things that you want to know about, love, family, marriage, beauty, if you were here the last 2 weeks, you know that Christ created those things, right? Chapter 1, He created all things and all things are for Him. So the conversation starts with, let's look at what Jesus says about that. Let's look at what God's Word reveals about that. And it's not just good, positive things. If you want to know about something difficult, you want to know about something bad, if you want to know about, you know, suffering, if you want to know about death, if you want to know about tragedy, if these things have happened to you or happened in your life and you're like, why is this happening? How could this happen? That conversation also starts with Jesus. That conversation also is covered in God's Word. Anything that matters, anything you can think of, the starting point is Christ. Even you, if you're standing and you think, I want to know, why am I here? What is my purpose? The starting point for that conversation is Jesus Christ. If you want to know, what makes me tick? Why am I the way that I am? The starting point for that conversation is right. And this isn't kind of like a gimmick. If you're actually trying to figure these things out and how they're supposed to work, what they're supposed to look like, you start with Jesus Christ and His Word. When something's not working right, I normally call the manufacturer. Well, there's nothing you can think of that Christ did not create. Does that make sense? And so what's interesting is, you see, the majority of worldviews the majority of things that are taught today, you know, all the philosophies and the self-help garbage and honestly a lot of counseling, they tell you to start with yourself. The conversation starts with me. It's inside of me. It's in my heart. And if I'll just dig a little bit deeper, love myself a little bit more, we can figure this out. But instead of the starting point being Jesus Christ and His Word, it starts with me, a fallen, sinful man that is imperfect and barely understands myself. Do you see the problem there? Let me read you the scripture. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And so Scripture would not teach you to look within yourself to figure out truth, what's right and wrong, or what you need to do. This is not the starting point. It's not about me. It's not about you. Let's keep reading. This morning, let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Paul's going to start laying into some of the false teaching here. It says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." So right off the bat here, Paul gives you a command that see to it. That's in the imperative. That's like an authoritative command. Whoever's reading this letter, Paul is saying, see to it. You make this happen. This is on you to make sure this does not happen. And then here's what's really interesting. This line right here, takes you captive. The word that Paul uses there is not used anywhere else in Scripture. Not in the New Testament, Old Testament. We don't have a single instance other than this of this being used. But it's used in other Greek writings. And the word can only mean three things. It can mean seduce, it can mean kidnap, and it can mean pillage. So Paul is saying, see to it that these false teachings, these other worldviews, these traditions, don't let them seduce you, kidnap you, and pillage you. Does he have your attention yet? Is it serious yet? These things will seduce you. They will kidnap you, carry you off to a place that you did not intend to be, and they will pillage your life. And in case pillage is not a word that you use like every day, that's basically like, I'm going to steal everything you have that's worth anything and then burn the rest to the ground. Paul is saying that these philosophies, these deceits, these human traditions, and what he's talking about is what the false teachers are pushing on this church. These things will harm you. It's deadly serious. And you may be thinking, man, I'm sure glad that none of that stuff is around today. I'm glad I don't have to worry about any of that today. Look at me. It's worse. It's much worse. And what makes it a lot worse is that it spreads so much quicker today. Thanks to the internet, social media, and them selling this junk at Barnes and Nobles, it's so much easier to be snatched and sucked into these false teachings, philosophies, and traditions. It's so much easier. Look back at verse 8. Do you see what Paul says about this stuff? He calls it the according to the elemental spirits of the world. He's used that phrase a couple of times in Colossians already, this elemental spirits. And I've told y'all that basically what that's talking about, it's talking about demons. When Paul says that these things are from elemental spirits, he's basically saying that these false teachings, these traditions, they're demonic. And I don't want to sound like Bobby Boucher's mom from Waterboy and just be like, it's the devil. You know, we don't talk about that a lot, but look at me. He's real. He's in Scripture. He is a real person. Let me read you some Scripture. This is John chapter 8, verse 44, okay? Jesus is talking. He says, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. for he is a liar and the father of all lies. So here we have this contrast, Jesus saying, I am the truth. Start with me when you want to know truth. And then we have the comparison, the devil is the father of lies. And Paul's warning us, don't fall into these traps. Don't go down this road. These things are coming from the devil. These things are demonic. And look at how it describes the devil. He's the father of lies, and it calls him a murderer. And so I got some examples that I kind of wanted to give you, but there's still a few small kids in here, so I'm not going to go down that road. But you may be thinking, I feel like Pastor Jacob's trying to scare us. I feel like he's kind of trying to freak us out a little bit, and that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to wake some of you up because you're not paying attention. Paul has commanded you to see to it that you do not fall into these traps, that these things do not seduce you, kidnap you, and then destroy your life. It's not on me, your pastor, to see to it that you're not carried off. It's not on your spouse. It's not on your Sunday school teacher. It's on you to see that these things do not happen. And if you have children, it is on you to see that your children do not get misled and carried off by this stuff. Some of you are not paying enough attention. You're not paying attention. And Paul and I, we desperately want you to wake up and look at what's going on, to see to it that these things do not happen. Okay, so I want to give you a couple of practical, hands-on examples of what you can do to try and make sure this doesn't happen, okay? So look at Psalm 119, verse 11, all right? Psalm 119, verse 11. The scripture says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. One of the things that I would beg you to do, one of the things that will really help you is memorizing scripture. As a child, I hated this. I have a really tough time memorizing things, okay? I thought my dad was going to lose it on me over the multiplication tables. But if you will start memorizing parts of God's word, you will be surprised how often something will come up, something will happen, there'll be a discussion, and all of a sudden that scripture flies to the front of your mind like an alarm. The more scripture that you have memorized, the more that this is going to happen. The Holy Spirit will use this to help you and to keep you out of trouble. I can give you tons of examples of times that maybe I wasn't paying attention as much as I should have. Maybe there's a conversation going on that I wasn't paying attention to, and all of a sudden, boom, a scripture jumps to the front of my mind. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. When I was in seminary, and we would be sitting in class, and people would be talking about things, there was a lot of times when the class would get way off base, talking about crazy stuff, and then, boom, God is bringing a scripture to my mind. And I'm like, nah, I'm not okay with this because of the scripture. You need to be memorizing scripture. And if you're a parent, you need to be talking about scripture with your children. They're like little sponges when they're kids, and it's easier for them. You need to be taking time to talk about God's word with them, to be teaching them God's word now, so that they'll have all this stuff, even if it takes them a while to be led to the Lord, they'll still have that foundation, these scriptures memorized, and there'll be times in their life when things will happen, they'll go, oh, wait a minute, this scripture's jumping to my mind. I don't know about that because of this scripture. And listen, I love you. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you're a parent and you are not talking about God's word on a regular basis with your children, you are slacking. You are not fulfilling your obligation. You are slacking. And as they get older, it will become more and more negligent. And if that stings a little bit, it's okay. But come talk to me later because I have resources I can give you for free to help with that. You don't have to reinvent the wheel or start from scratch. I got stuff I'll give you to help with that. But you have got to get your children into God's word. Let me read the passage again. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's word is powerful, and only good can come out of you having it memorized. Let me read you another passage, Psalm 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You're going to come to crossroads in your life. You're going to come to times when you have to make a decision. You have to make a call, whether it's for you or for your whole family or for your children. And God's word can be your guide then too. When you have to make decisions, stop. Go through the scriptures. There's a good chance that whatever you're wrestling with, the Bible talks about it. God's word can be a lamp for you with all the darkness that's going on, all these dark things that are being taught. That lamp analogy is pretty spot on. It might be different than everything else you're hearing, but it will never guide you in the wrong direction. And I want to read you one more. This is Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does that mean? What that means is that your life is just saturated with God's word. It's hidden in your heart. You've stored it up because you've been memorizing it. It's on your mind because you've spent time meditating on God's word. It's carried out. It's practical because every time you're making a decision, you're examining God's word. Your life is just drenched day to day with God's word. And the way that you, the best way to make a lot of this happen is when you get up in the morning, start your day in God's word. If you would just spend 10, 15 minutes each morning, sit down, if you drink coffee, get you a cup of coffee or whatever you do, and start your day in God's word. You'll be surprised how much scripture you'll retain. You'll be surprised how often what you read about that morning will come up later in the day. God will use that time to form you and mold you into a better Christian. He will use that time of you being in His Word to lead you. And you might say, I don't have a whole lot of time in the morning. Get up earlier. I mean, how important is this to you? We can get up super duper early to go hunting or to go on a ball game or whatever. I have just found that in general, people make time for what's important to them. If it's important to you, you'll get up earlier or do whatever you have to do to spend time in God's Word. Now, let me read you something else. This one right here makes me feel a whole lot better. This is James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. If you need help, if you don't know what to do, you're at a crossroads, you don't know what's right and wrong, go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him. This scripture right here says that He likes to give generously when people ask for wisdom. And this is a prayer that honors God, because you're going to Him saying, Lord, I need your help. I know that wisdom comes from you. Help me out, Lord. It honors Him, and it's a prayer that He will answer. It may not be instantaneously. You may not hear an audible voice right then. But if you're going to God and asking for wisdom in a situation, or you're asking God to help you know His word better, He's going to honor that prayer. Now, all morning, we've talked about how, you know, Jesus is the truth and how we need to be following Jesus. He's the starting point for all the questions that really, really matter. And I gave you that passage from John 14:6 where Jesus says, I am the truth. But I only gave you half of the scripture. Let me read you the entire verse. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you're sitting here this morning and I keep kind of hammering you, talking about how you should start with Jesus for all your questions, and you don't know Jesus yet, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and your Savior, you've not accepted the gospel, that's really the starting point. So if you're here this morning and that's you and you're like, I don't know that I'm in that category. I don't know that I really know Jesus. It's hard for me to go to the truth when I don't know him. I would love to talk to you about that. If you're also here this morning and you're looking for a church home, I would like to talk with you about that too. We would love to have you. We would love to grow together in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Sherry is going to come up in a second, and she's going to lead us in a song, and I'd love to talk with you.
Our invitational hymn is 275, I Surrender All. Stand and join in singing.